Thank you for taking time to listen to this week's message from First Orlando. You can find even more content, including video archives of this and other past messages, at firstorlando.com. And if you're in the Orlando area, be sure to visit us sometime soon. Now, enjoy this podcast from First Orlando.
I don't think it's on accident that Jesus leaves the end of the story for the older brother untold. I think he left it untold because he wants us to reconcile where that older brother is with ourselves and say, is that me? And how will I respond? You see, the older brother wasn't celebrating like everybody else because he didn't value what everybody else did. It didn't mean the same to him. Last week at La Chapelle is the name of the church that we support there in Montreal. It's an amazing place. I was so privileged to be there. I've told you about them before because I was there in 2017 and I met the pastor then. He made a statement to us, a group that was there. He said, I'd love for y'all to come to church on a Sunday. We were there during the week. He said, but I'm a little nervous because the people I pastor, it's like I'm pastoring the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth was known for being a really hard church to pastor because the people, when they came to faith, were far from God. And there was a lot of things going on that they were trying to fix. And he said, that's kind of what it is like at our church. And since he told me that in 2017, I've been wanting to go back there on a Sunday and experience it. And it exceeded all of my expectation. The three services that I was privileged to speak in, they have about 1,800 people in those three services. They have another church about 2 hours away that's a campus of theirs as well that runs another 200. So about 2,100 people gathering every weekend in Montreal around the gospel. And you need to know this. Montreal statisticians will tell us, people, missiologists, that it is what is called the darkest city in North America based on the population and how few evangelical churches there are. There is no city where it's harder to hear the gospel in North America than Montreal. And your giving is supporting La Chapelle, one of the largest and fastest growing churches in the region. And the gospel is flourishing because of your sacrificial giving there. And it was a joy to be there. If you're ever in Montreal, which is a beautiful city to visit, you need to go on a weekend so you can visit La Chapelle. And like David said, I had a translator, their senior pastor, their lead pastor is also named David, David Portier, and he translated for me. Betsy was with me, and after the morning, there were two services in the morning, one in the evening. After the morning, I said, well, babe, how did it go? What did you think of the message and all that? And she said, he's a great communicator. I'm like, he was speaking French. What do you mean he's a great communicator? What about me? Said, well, I don't know. I could understand you, but he was a great communicator. So maybe I needed to bring David with me to translate today, but he's just an amazing, amazing leader, and I'm so privileged that our church gets to be a part of that and that I had the joy of really representing you there in Montreal last week was a great joy. But it also reminded me of a time when everybody around me was celebrating, but I wasn't. It was my first visit to Canada, and I was with my family. Betsy and the boys were young, and we went to Vancouver. And when we got there, the first full day we were in town was July 1st. We didn't know it at the time until that day, but July 1 in Canada is a holiday. It's Canada Day. And everybody was celebrating. I mean, the end of the day, there were fireworks, there's balloons, there's parades, everybody's dressed up. All the right colors, they're singing songs, it's party everywhere. But I wasn't celebrating because I don't care about Canada Day. Pardon to the Canadians in the room, but it wasn't important to me. And so I didn't celebrate. And that's what we find in the story of the older brother. You see, the older brother felt kind of out of place, like there's a celebration going on, but I don't care about the things they care about. It doesn't mean anything to me, so I'm not celebrating. This story and the story part of the older brother is found in Luke 15, verses 25 through 32. If you have a Bible, I want to invite you to open it, or maybe your device. I'm going to read the passage from the screen right here. You can follow along with me. Luke 15, 25. Now his older son was in the field, and as he drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound." But he was angry, and he refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. And he answered his father, "Look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and he is found." The older brother, or what we might call the older prodigal, cannot be identified by his location, like being far away or being close by. He can't be identified by who he associates with. He can't be identified by his reputation. So it's not his location, his association, or his reputation that helps you identify this older brother, this older prodigal. The older prodigal, in some ways, could seem like no prodigal at all. And it forces us to ask the question, am I one? Is that me? You see, the older brother cancels the person he doesn't value. He finds it hard, if not impossible. Again, we don't know the end of the story, but he doesn't want to forgive his younger brother and the harm and the problems that he's caused and the things that he does. He wants to cancel his younger brother. And so we only know if we're the older brother by what we value and by how we see the world around us. And it's the way we see things that helps us know, am I the older brother? And today I just want to invite all of us, again, sometimes it's easier to pick out the younger prodigal. But the challenge for all of us, everybody here today and everybody watching today, to ask ourselves the question, am I being the older brother? Or am I celebrating grace? Or am I despising grace? Where am I? And to celebrate grace, the first way we do that is to see ourselves in others. We have to see ourselves in others. The older brother has trouble with that. In verse 30, let me draw your attention. He says this, "But when this son of yours," he's speaking to his father, "when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him." This idea, he says, "this son of yours." He doesn't even want to identify with himself. He doesn't say, "my brother." He says, "this son of yours." When Betsy and I were young parents, had three boys around the house, it wouldn't be unusual for the boys to misbehave. And some of the time, I would say to Betsy, "your boys are misbehaving." Right? Like, I don't want to assume responsibility. They can't have anything to do with me because I'm good and they're bad. And that's what the brother's saying. You see, he doesn't see himself in his brother. And he should. When we forget or refuse to acknowledge our potential for evil, we don't see ourselves in others, and we can't celebrate grace. You know, celebrating grace is more about hating our sin than anyone else's sin. It's not us saying, "I can see what they're doing wrong." That's what the older brother was saying. "I see what he did. Let me remind you what they did." No. Seeing ourselves in others is when we see somebody else's sin, it causes us to say, I know how sinful I am. Their sin reminds me of my sin, not their sin. You see, grace is only needed or useful when we sin. This older brother had this idea that he was there already. He didn't need the grace. You see, the older brother is more focused on his brother's sin without acknowledging the brother's repentance. You know, the brother had come back. He had repented and turned from what he was doing and come back to the Father. And the brother's, all he's doing is focusing on sin and doesn't acknowledge the repentance. And sometimes we get caught right there. But that's not all. He also is focused on his own righteousness without realizing his own need for repentance. Today, all of us, every one of us, need to ask ourselves the question, am I focusing on my righteousness, or am I acknowledging my need for God's grace and forgiveness? When we see their sin, whoever they are, we should see our sin right along with it. And we don't demonize people. We don't make people out to be demons. People are not demons. Jesus died for all people. Even the people we disagree with, the people who vote differently than us, who speak different languages than us, who live in different countries than us. We don't demonize people. In fact, you know, Jesus said, we love our enemies. So we don't demonize people. We see ourselves in others. And the more brokenness we see in them, the more brokenness we understand in ourselves. You know, when we don't think we need grace, we tend to stop being gracious. It's knowing that we need it that helps us to celebrate it. And what this older brother failed to see in this really important moment in his life is that he needed grace as badly as his younger brother did. Only he didn't realize it. And so he had no grace towards his brother. Today, let's ask ourselves, is that me? A second way we celebrate grace is to see ourselves the way God does. We have to see ourselves in others, and then we have to see ourselves the way God does. The older brother doesn't begin with that. Look at what he says in verse 29. But this is, he is the older brother. But the older brother answered his father, look, these many years I've served you. I never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. When he begins to address the father, what he says to him is, I've served you and I've obeyed you. What about I loved you? Where is that? He saw his father as more master than father. That's what the older brother does. If we want to see ourselves the way God sees us, we see him as father, not as master. His primary role towards us is our heavenly father. And this older brother, he's the foolishness of it. He's making a list for his dad of what he's done. He summarizes it. I've served you and I've obeyed you. So I qualify. The father doesn't see it that way. You know, his list of good behavior does not impress his dad. If I tried to impress you by making a list of my good behavior, you would not be impressed. You'd probably want to punch me in the face if I made a list. Like, that's rude. Who does that? And that's what he did. Like, look what I've done. I've served you and I've obeyed you, done everything you told me to do. Do you even notice that when he came in, that the older brother spoke to the, it says this, he spoke to the servants about the father before he even spoke to the father. And sometimes that's where we can be as older brothers. We're talking to people about the Father, but we don't talk much to the Father. And it moves us towards this category of doing things for God rather than being with God. In the older brother's world, doing took priority over being. And what the father wanted was relationship with him. That's what he desired. And the older brother, even though it seemed like he was so close, he was a long way off because his heart was so distant from his dad. The older brother thought he'd earned the father's approval, only to discover what he was trying to earn was his all along. He didn't need to earn it. It had been given to him, his father's approval, by grace. And this idea of responsibility and obligation had taken precedent over relationship. If you view your interaction or relationship with God as more of obligation and things you have to do rather than a relationship with him, you are slipping into the category of older brother, which was a very graceless way to live. And he says, the older brother says these harsh things to the dad. I've done everything that you asked. I've obeyed you and I've served you, and you did nothing for me. So one brother is far off. One brother is really close by. As close as we are today, that's how close he was. And the beautiful thing is the father responded the same to both prodigals. Do you know what he did? Look at what it says in verse 28. This is the older brother, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. The word entreated means he spoke kindly to him. In both instances, you saw the video earlier of the younger brother coming home and the father running towards him. It's beautiful. That's exactly what the story says. And then in this one, the older brother won't even come inside because he doesn't want to be a part of the party. It's a scandalous party. Why are you having a party for him after everything he's done to hurt you? And the father looks at him. Both of them the same. They both need the grace that the father wants to extend to them. And he does the same thing to the older brother. He comes out to him. And he speaks kindly to him. So today, if we're ones who are finding ourselves in some situations, and I have, in my own journey, it's not I'm always the older brother or I'm never the older brother. It's seasons and days and situations where I find myself slipping into this judgmental, holier than thou, I'm better than you, I see all your wrong and I don't see my own. And then I have a wake-up call and I ease back into, that's not who I am. I realize the grace of God towards me and then I slip back. But here's what I want you to know. If you find yourself in a situation like that, the Father is doing the same thing. He's running to you. He doesn't turn his back to us. He's not hard to hear us. He's a whisper away for us to say, thank you for the grace that you've given to me. And what does God, if we want to see ourselves the way God does, how does God view us? What does God want with us? He tells us what he wants. Verse 31, here's what he says. And he said to his son, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. You know he's saying that to us, right? You know what God desires for us? You know what the Father wants for us? Proximity and intimacy. He wants us to be close to him, and he wants everything that's his to be ours. Think about that for a second. He wants to be close to us. He wants to be close to you. And he wants everything that he has to be ours. Now that is grace. And we live in a graceless world. Nothing is free and everything is earned. Even our identities seem to have to be earned. But the Father says, you don't have to earn it with me. I've given it to you already. And your identity is as my child, primary more than anything else. And no matter which prodigal we are, we can experience the full grace of the Father. In the story, only one of the sons valued grace. It was the one who knew he needed it. And today, I want to encourage us, let's be men and women who value the grace. And so we celebrate the grace in somebody else's life, and we celebrate the grace in ours as well. In the musical Hamilton, the last song has a very poignant line that says this: "Have I done enough? Will they tell my story?" And I think they're asking the wrong question. The wrong question is, have I done enough? The right question is, has he done enough? And the answer is yes. He has done everything that we need. But we can move from being graceless and not receiving the grace that the Father has for us, so we don't distribute the grace that the Father has for us, or we can receive all of the grace that he extends to us, and it causes us to extend grace to others. I saw this firsthand in someone's life recently. Sam came to work for our church about 4 years ago, and he immigrated from another country when he came here, and our church did so much to help he and his family, and we helped his kids get in school and his wife get a job. We helped him find a home, and of course, he was working here and had a lot of opportunity in front of him, and he was a very promising young man with lots of potential, and we had high hopes about his leadership and the things we were doing, but it just seemed like in the first few months of him being here that the more we did to help Sam, that the more entitled he began to feel and began to act. And he began to cause conflict in almost every place where he would be with his peer workers or with church members. It was conflict after conflict. And he was a friend before he came to be on staff. And everywhere I would try to interact with him and try to help him, he was resistant. He didn't want to listen. And man, I struggled so much. Again, he was a friend, and it so pained me because it wasn't what I knew him to be. And his attitude and his performance just got worse and worse and worse. And after about 2 years, one of the most painful experiences here was having to tell Sam, man, you can't stay here anymore. We're going to try to take care of you and help you land another opportunity, but you can't stay here anymore because it's just disruptive everywhere you are. And he just had a scowl on his face and a burden on his back and just not in a good place. So we said our goodbyes, and I had some really hard conversations with Sam. And we kind of left, and, you know, the relationship was severed at the same time that the working relationship was. And that's probably 2 years ago. And then about a month ago, my assistant came in and said, "Hey, Danny, Sam's on the phone and wondering if he can come by for 5 minutes. He wants to talk to you for 5 minutes. And it made me tense from top to bottom. Do you ever get a phone call like that? And I said, "Yeah, I guess so. Did he say what he wants to talk about?" "No, he just is saying he arranged a trip to make sure he had time to come by and wanted 5 minutes to come talk to you." I said, "Okay." Then I said, "I don't want him in the office. Tell him I'll meet him downstairs. Let me know when he gets here." So about 30 minutes passes, and she comes in and says, "Sam's downstairs. He's outside Welcome Center B." So I leave my office. The whole time I'm walking there, I'm giving myself a pep talk. "Now be nice, smile, say you're sorry. Don't take it personally what he says." Giving myself a pep talk all the way there. And I got to the door. I look outside. He's sitting on the bench. He's by himself. Okay. So I walk out the door and say, "Sam." And he turns and looks, and just as soon as he looked at me, I'm like, this is a different guy. He jumps up off the bench, and he starts walking towards me. There's a bounce in his step, and he's grinning from ear to ear. And he walks straight towards me, kind of the way that video was, and he just bear hugs me. Now, there was a second in there when I was just like, cautious, is this going to be a bear hug? He gives me this big old bear hug, and with his voice right into my ear, he said, "I just want to say thank you. Thank you to First Orlando for everything you guys did for me." He said, "When I was here, I didn't see it and I couldn't receive it. And you guys did so much to help me. And today, we're in Texas, and I'm serving in a great church, and we're flourishing. My girls are doing great. My wife's doing great. I'm doing great in the role. And nothing that I have would I have had it not been for the generosity and graciousness of First Orlando and everything you did to help me. And every time you helped me, I was pushing against you, and you just kept helping me. And I want to say thank you to First Orlando. Would you tell them thank you from me? Because I've experienced grace from you like I've never experienced before. I said, man, Sam, thank you for coming back and telling me this. Thank you. And we talked for a few minutes. He updated me on things, how he was doing, and the rest of the story. And he said, I got to go. I'm headed to a meeting. He said, I did change my flight so I could come by here, but I got to go. And so he took off to his car, and I walked. I got about two steps into Welcome Center B, and I came back outside. Sam, come here. I said, I don't ever want to forget this day. I got to take a picture so I never forget what today feels like. And I took a picture. I think they got it to show you of me and Sam. Yeah, you can clap. And I see Sam's face there. I see grace. That's a changed man. I see grace. I hope when the Father looks at me, that's what he sees. May we be that way. Changed by the power of grace. You know, all of the grace that Sam experienced here, he experienced before the change. He could have had this face when he was here because all the grace was here. I called him and asked him, hey, do you mind if I tell our story? He chuckled. This was this week. He chuckled. He said, Danny, I saw on your website or YouTube update or something that came that First Orlando was doing a series on the prodigal. And I thought to myself, if Danny gets a chance to preach in that series, he's going to tell our story. So I've been expecting your call all along, and you can say anything you want to. I am so thankful for First Orlando and what they did for me. You tell the story if it helps somebody there. That's awesome. He said, but there was a change, and I actually wrote it down when he told me. He said, when I was there, all of my identity was wrapped up in what I did. I've served you. I've obeyed you. He said, and over time, when all of that was taken away, my identity changed to what he did for me, and that I'm his child, and that's enough. That's what it means to walk in grace and to value what he values and to celebrate what he celebrates. Let's pray together. Gracious God, would you help us today to celebrate what you celebrate? And we celebrate your magnificent, scandalous grace extended to each of us. And we thank you for Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the First Orlando podcast. For more information like our service times, location, and other contact information, be sure to visit us online at firstorlando.com. Have a great week.